gold-plated diapers.
Hey, Jellyheads, and welcome to another episode of Flapdoodle Forum. This is a show where we discuss the strange occurrences in society and culture
and provide our insights and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show.
All right.
We're your hosts, Lucas Wilson and
Matt Buckley,
with our guest hosts,
Ryan Traver
and Dave Halstead.
And tonight, we've got four treats,
the full
for
house
you to listen to. You might want to
celebrate.
So, who's going first, guys? Come on. I got a good discussionary topic. What about you guys, huh?
Lucas, I volunteer to go second. It's going to be you, so why do you ask every week?
Oh, just hoping maybe someday I didn't have to start the show. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yep.
All right. 3D face masks created from DNA found in public spaces.
I saw that.
I found this on, what was that, mymodernmet.com.
People were posting it on Facebook.
Yeah, and I saw that and I was like, that is flap-worthy. I need to bring it up.
Yeah.
All right, information artist Heather Dewey Hagborg recreates faces of people by extracting genetic information from found objects in the street for her experimental project titled Stranger Visions. Using saliva traced from a piece of gum on the floor or a discarded cigarette butt, not to mention loose hairs that can be wound up just about anywhere, the artist and a team of biologists have constructed a series of three-dimensional human faces.
That's wacky.
And here they are on the top.
That's nuts.
And also down here.
Wow.
Woo.
So now, some of this is up to artist interpretation, but the fact that you can kind of get a generalization just from somebody's DNA, I find absolutely fascinating.
I find it frightening.
Is there like a comparison picture to like the actual person?
No, because this is like, she would just like scrape it off the bottom of like a park bench.
Gotcha.
You know?
Be interesting to see like if she took it from an actual person that, you know, she met up with and then...
Or
well, a famous person.
My mind immediately goes to forensic shows, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's lots of things you can talk about with this. One of them, of course, is like David kind of touched there with that mention, is that if you find DNA evidence at a crime scene, you could, maybe after given several years of sophistication to maybe being able to recreate exactly what a person looks like, you could be like, this is the, not just like trying to match it with the killer, but this is what the killer looked like.
That's crazy.
Like, we're looking for this guy. Have you found this guy? His blood was at the scene of the murder, you know? And then other ones is that people could just pick up your discarded Dunkin' Donuts cup and then get your DNA and put you in a movie, you know?
Oh, you're going back to that other topic you talked about before.
Yeah, about artificial
actors. You see, I was sort of wondering about reconstructing the faces of dead people.
That Ooh. Is a good thing, yeah.
Historically speaking.
Historically, I mean, you can kind of do that already by taking, like, somebody's skull. You can already get what their face might have looked like.
Mise en layers.
Yeah. I mean, they've done it before. But if you only had...
an arm?
Yeah, no. Like, that would, like, say somebody's arm washes up on a beach because they were chopped up and thrown out to sea. Then you can be like, who's this person? Then you can reconstruct them from their DNA, you know?
See what they look like.
I think that's...
Well, didn't they have, like, a case in Canada where, like, a bunch of foots or feet...
Yeah, it was one of those weird mysteries that ended up on, like, crack.com, where it was, like, unexplained mysteries, right?
Yeah,
a bunch of feet washed up on shore.
Yeah, a bunch of shoes with feet in them washed up on shore.
Yeah, there was, like, a dozen of them or something like that over the course of a few years.
Okay.
But they never found out who any of them belonged to.
Now, what do you guys... I just said my thoughts on it. What about you guys?
I think...
Dave, you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay. You're awful quiet.
It does creep me out a little. I mean, I saw the site earlier in the week, and it's like, it just creeps me out a little. Not the idea of saying, this is what a person's face looked like, but she had, like, sculptures, right?
Yeah, she 3D printed them.
So it was just these faces hanging on the wall, and that kind of creeped me out.
That's sadistic.
Yeah.
Ah,
is that herself?
That should not be on somebody's wall.
Yeah, like,
that's what I'm saying.
That'd be kind of creepy to go and mount other people's faces to your wall like a trophy.
It's a little.
It's like, I found your DNA. Stop littering.
It's a little macabre.
Yeah, you could. You could find out who, like, maybe some of these litter bugs out there just by grabbing their Mountain Dew bottle or their cigarette butt and being like, "This is the mother trucker that won't stop littering on my lawn. Look, everybody."
Yeah, that's how people talk.
And that's a really benign case to use this sophisticated technology for, Lucas.
Well, what would you use it for, Dave?
I have no use for this technology.
I'm going to say what everybody's thinking. Sex dolls.
Oh, that's creepy.
I wasn't thinking that.
That's creepy. What? If you get the DNA of somebody, you have a...
No.
A don't act like you weren't thinking it.
I was not thinking that at all.
Anywhere near there.
Oh, maybe
that's sick.
Maybe I need help.
Yeah, you do. Mm. What's wrong with you guys?
I wasn't thinking it.
Yes, you were.
You got sarcastic voice.
Don't look at me.
What do you think, Pippi?
Pippi's chilling.
How long does it take to create this 3D image?
I don't know, however... Actually, I might have actually read.
They start using this for forensics, you know. The next step is Tom Cruise in pre-crime.
No, it doesn't
say exactly. I could have taken that comment
exactly.
So much further, but I decided not
yeah,
to.
Yeah, good Bubba.
Good call.
I mean, what would happen if you guys walked into, like, an art gallery, and there was your face on a wall?
I would think someone has terrible taste.
Although, you know, they wouldn't be able to tell maybe how, you know, heavy or skinny someone is.
Right.
That's not what I was talking about.
No, that just brought someone to mind. It's like you'd only get, like, maybe what they'd look like if they maintained a level
body
mass.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And that's if they hadn't done any, like, physical alterations to themselves or anything like that.
Yeah,
that too. No, like, plastic surgery and that stuff.
That also brings me up another thing I saw, like,
No, wait. This is genius. We can finally find out what actors' real faces look like. Before the plastic, what did they actually look like?
I think you have something there.
Yeah.
That's like...
But what I was saying, that just reminded me of one other thing that's kind of unrelated, but kind of is.
You may as well say it.
Just in terms of trying to figure out what something looked like based on maybe like their bone structure. You know, like the way dinosaurs are drawn is kind of based on what we know with their bones. It's like, oh, their bones are like this. And based on animals we do know, maybe their muscles would look like this and stuff.
So what you're saying is instead of using the bones, use their genetic structure to try and figure out what they look like. Like what these people are doing.
Well, maybe, yeah, that's not what I was saying.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if
I was getting
would...
at that, but that is a good point. Maybe if you could...
I don't know if that would translate, though, because it's a completely different species and everything.
Yeah, it would be hard to map that. But that's not what I was saying. Is that
I don't know science.
I saw pictures, like some people, they had some artists draw what they think, like, you know, say they found, they just analyzed some cow's bones and just, like, tried to draw it based on what they, you know, like how they would treat a dinosaur, and the cow looked completely different. Like, because it was all lean and less muscular and less fat and stuff, so...
That's interesting.
Yeah. So our perception of what a dinosaur looks like could probably be completely wrong.
Technically, the average cow is bred to be fat and tasty.
Well, yeah.
When you think about it. In the wild, they might not look like that.
They're really... Just, I don't think there's any such thing as a wild cow anymore.
I didn't say that there was. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, Lucas, actually one of the news stories I heard this week, unfortunately I didn't grab it for the show, was... That there are scientists sort of doing the Jurassic Park thing, whereas they're trying to take DNA and bring back some extinct animals.
Recently. Something. I mean, like they did that with the ibex one version.
Uh-huh. I heard they were trying to do that with a mammoth or something.
Well, yeah, of course, with the mammoth and stuff. DNA from a dinosaur is too damaged to bring back.
Right.
They've already stated. Although they have tried to reverse, they're trying to like reverse engineer like a chicken. Mm-hmm. To make it a dinosaur, like they've already gotten it to like grow tiny stubs of teeth and extra vertebrae on their tail.
A chicken with teeth.
It's essentially turning on genes that are off while it's in the like still in the egg state.
It's an interesting concept.
Well, I heard they're gonna do a saber-toothed tiger though.
Yikes!
Oh boy, how you do that? Could you bring back the Tasmanian tiger? It's kind of
yeah,
a cool
the dodo.
Thing. Yeah, so you've got any genetic material left?
Mm.
All right. Well, that's my subject.
That was a good lead.
For the night. Who's next?
That was nice.
I believe Matt volunteered for
second place.
Next topic.
All right, Matt. Thrill us.
Mine isn't quite as discussion worthy, but still interesting nonetheless.
I'm listening. Oh, you behind.
Hmm?
Oh, this looks good.
All right. So I know there are a lot of bacon lovers out there. Our cast is probably among them. All right.
It means yes.
No.
This article I found on Time Today called 105-Year-Old Woman Says Bacon Keeps Her Alive.
The bacon of life?
Everything I was raised to believe.
Everything.
The bacon.
Everything you know is a lie.
Ned, right. Do I have to give you the bacon of life?
Fun. Who would have thought it, right?
Yeah.
So there's this 105-year-old woman in Texas who is living off of bacon, apparently.
She eats nothing but bacon?
She eats other things, but she eats bacon every day, and she's, like, obsessed with it, and she credits bacon for keeping her alive and, you know, going into her advanced age.
Does she have a logical explanation for that kind of thing?
Yeah. Nothing scientific. Okay. But she just says, I love bacon. I eat it every day. I don't feel as old as I am. That's all I can say. I mean, remember, she is 100.
Dr. Seuss?
She is 105, so I don't know if she's completely lucid at this point.
We should totally write a children's book about this lady.
Nursery rhyme about how bacon's good for you?
Yeah.
I throw up the whole time.
Apparently, she still dances, and she was mowing the lawn until the age of 100, which kept her active and everything.
I mean, it might be the fact that she was physically active up until
now. That was probably a contributing thing. Yeah. Oscar Mayer found out about her love of their products, and they went to her home in the Wienermobile and let her drive it around town or something like that.
How old was she when that happened?
Or no, she rode Shot Bun.
Oh, wow.
And she just got to ride around her hometown. It doesn't say when that happened.
Did you hear that, Dave?
If I saw a 105-year-old woman
bit of that, I'm hearing most of it.
You wouldn't know what to think at that point.
I would go home and take a nap because I would think I was hallucinating.
But this obviously contradicts a lot of what we've been told about the healthfulness of bacon, because obviously it's got a lot of saturated fat, it's processed.
One old lady's word against science.
Well, at the end of the article there is a study that's brought up that says eating bacon in moderation could prevent an estimated 3% of premature deaths per year.
Although there is a, while we were in, like, younger kids in high school, it was like a war against fat. Like, fat was making people fat. But now they're going like, wait a minute, it wasn't the fat, it's the sugar we're eating that's causing us to get overweight. So now it's all about getting rid of too much sugar.
Uh-huh. Well, this actually brings it. You know the comedian Louis Black?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I very distinctly remember he had a bit where he talked about somebody living to like over 100 years old and they eat bacon every day of their life. And his joke was, you know, he's used to being angry. That's part of his persona. He's like, and he's talking about things. They tell us to eat this, then they tell us to eat that. This is good for us, then it's bad for us. Then it's good for us again. And he said, you know what, people? We are all snowflakes.
What?
He says, we're all different. We're all worked up differently. So this lady can eat bacon every day of her life. She'd live to be, what 100. Age is she?
105.
She's 105 and she still seems to be, you know.
It would probably kill me in 3 years if I tried it, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, I had something I was going to say and I completely forgot.
That's okay.
So are you guys totally going to eat bacon every day?
No, I am not going to eat bacon every day. I hate bacon.
Yes. Really?
Ugh. I do not like the flavor.
And we lost all our listeners.
I do not like the flavor.
On a related note, Denny's, I don't know if they still have it going on.
Lucas doesn't like bacon and peanut butter.
Yeah.
What about Denny's?
We capitalized on the fear of peanut butter.
Denny's has like a... I'm sure you're going to love this, Luke. They have a bacon lovers promotion going on where they have all these like bacon-themed desserts. They actually have a bacon milkshake.
That is absolutely disgusting.
Bacon brownies.
That is like awful. Why would you do that? That is disgusting.
Because we're in America.
It's fascinating bacon can go with. It can go with just about anything.
No, it can't.
No, actually, my girlfriend had the bacon milkshake and she thought it was really good.
Bacon and ice cream and chocolate fudge. And he said, you know what? It wasn't bad.
Did you try it?
I can't have dairy.
Oh, that's right. You can't eat ice cream. Why did you eat that giant tub of ice cream?
When?
You remember that time in college, there was like a cardboard drum of like chocolate or something that was almost empty. Pretty much everyone was ignoring it, but it did still have quite a lot of ice cream like clung to the sides.
I remember now.
And you pulled it out and walked over to our lunch table and just sat down and started scooping ice cream out of it.
And the lunch lady came over and yelled at me, yes. Threatened to take away my student ID, which I would say they're thinking, I don't believe you have the power to do that, lunch lady.
That's funny.
For this mild jackassery that's not actually hurting anyone.
Yeah, I think they were overstepping their bounds.
A lot. But, Lucas, I wasn't always lactose intolerant. I became lactose intolerant some point in college, like around my...
After you ate all the ice cream. overloaded.
Yeah, around my junior year, I realized that I had built up an intolerance to it.
Well, that was something. What are you doing? Want me to go next?
Yeah, Bubs, you go next.
Bubs, I'm going next.
Next topic!
This is a good story for us locally. It comes from our friends over in Gloversville. The story is actually credited to Times Union. We all are aware that when you hear George Gershwin's piano song off in the distance, Mr. Ding-a-ling is coming, the ice cream man, right? We have these memories from childhood.
I am familiar with a few different chimes, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, this story.
Yes, this story. He recently extended his reach into Gloversville. This is about 40 minutes outside of Albany, I think. Anyway, his truck started driving around Gloversville and came under fire of Snow Cone Joe, a rival ice cream delivery driver. Their truck started stalking the other trucks, basically. Stalking them. When they'd pull over, they'd yell out, "Free ice cream over here!" They'd try and take away their customers.
But would they give out the free ice cream?
I think so.
Wait, did Mr. Ding-a-ling, like, wander into his turf or something like that?
They started distributing in Gloversville, and the owner of Snow Cone Joe actually has been threatening Mr. Ding-a-ling. This is hard to talk about, Mr. Ding-a-ling. apparently, he threatened him for over a decade about overextending his reach. I guess they used to, I think it says some here that they used to be part owners of Snow Cone Joe, and then the other guy left, and there's bad blood. But basically, it got so far out of control that the owner of Snow Cone Joe and his girlfriend have been charged. They were arrested and charged with stalking, harassment, and a whole bunch of different stuff. Here's a picture of the dude. So yeah, what do you think?
Did you just describe a turf war between ice cream truck delivery men?
Yes, I did.
Good old Gloversville.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
This reminds me of Little Tortilla Boy.
Double fudge
sundae. Little Tortilla Boy.
Little Tortilla Boy.
Where's my money?
Oh, the guy is also... He's gone so far as to call the headquarters in Latham of Mr. Ding-a-ling. And he's said things like, he'll say, like, "Who do you think you are putting a truck in this town?" What was the big thing he would say over and over? I'm trying to find it.
Snow cones at high noon.
But yeah, I guess this bad blood is ridiculous. What do you think?
This beef sounds pretty serious.
Yeah, man.
The much streets more serious will than run with flavored syrup.
Is this the end for Snow Cone Joe?
It's unclear if Snow Cone Joe is still operating. The guy and his girlfriend were arraigned and released from Gloversville City Court, and they never got any comments from him or anything, so it's pretty unclear at this point.
So, you know, if they're gone, then that means Mr. Ding-a-ling has all of Gloversville.
Yeah, the owner said his cars trucks are still driving the routes in Gloversville.
I'd be hesitant to get ice cream from Snow Cone Joe, just afraid of it. They'd like freak out and like try to punch me with their ice cream.
Punch you with their ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay.
Set off the rocket
punch
pops.
Punch you right in the cones.
Yeah.
Punch you right in the cones.
I'll punch you in the cones.
Kick you in the snowballs.
He called the headquarters in Latham and said, "I own this town." Over and over and over, apparently.
Dude, you're an ice cream truck driver. Get
apparently
over
that
yourself.
He's an ice cream kingpin.
Their heads.
Get over yourself. My gosh.
Molotino is the owner.
A really simple task. Develop an ego about what they do.
Oh, man. Apparently the dude was pulled over. He was literally caught in his truck tailgating one of the Mr. Ding-a-ling trucks.
Tailgating?
And he was blasting his jingle way louder than he was, just trying to harass him to no end.
Wish I could have seen this.
I can imagine it'd be quite a spectacle, wouldn't
it? Yeah, sounds hilarious.
Mom, I heard the ice cream and I went outside to get some ice cream, but then it just flew by. Two trucks were bashing into each other.
Dun, 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 dun,
thanks,
dun.
Bubba, for that.
Oh, you are
most that was something.
That entertaining tidbit.
Mm. Oh my god!
Unforgettable news.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully, we get a follow up on it.
I'll keep a check on it.
Yeah, keep tabs on that.
Next topic:
David Horsted McVichtenstein.
I think he means you.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
You want to hear my story?
Yeah.
Have you decided yet?
You treat a story, damn it!
With the danger of running long, can I do both?
If they're all quick, right. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it's going to create a nightmare for making the picture.
No, they have an app for everything, don't they?
Yeah.
And of course, different cultures have different needs.
I'm very excited all of a sudden.
And apparently, in Iceland, one of the great services an app is providing is preventing people from accidentally having incestuous relationships.
Oh, I heard about this.
Oh, this is interesting.
Iceland's anti-incest application. Where it's a
hilarious phone
bumping system, you know? So it's like
hanging
out in a bar, bump phones, see if we're cousins.
Make sure we're not related. Oh, that's hilarious. Does it work? I mean, has it been...
I don't know.
Well, I hope it doesn't work.
Is there a commercial? Otherwise,
commercial?
It'd be awesome if there was an ad.
No, I don't think so. I think just it exists. That's about it.
We gotta get on the horn to them.
We're on this. The Daily Beast.
The Daily Beast.
So, yeah, it says, Iceland has a tiny population and confusing surnames make knowing who you're related to impossible. A new Icelandic dating app wants to prevent accidental instances of incest. Say that five times fast.
Accidental instances of incest. Yeah, I'm not going to try.
Nope.
So, what if you were, like, really hitting it off with a girl that night? You're like, wait, before we take this date any further, let's bump our phones.
How do you broach that?
Well,
let's bump our phones. And then you find out she's, like, one of your first cousins. You're like, damn it!
You want to get some pizza?
I wonder if there's going to be, like, a subculture of viral video showing the reactions of people who, like, find out that they're actually related.
I feel like that'd be a rare sight to catch on tape.
And then you're going, like, who am I not related to in this town?
Yeah, it'd certainly suck if it malfunctioned and just came up as positive every time. It's like, I'm related to everybody.
I mean, there's going to be like so many families crossing paths that at one point it's like almost virtually pointless.
You're
going to
wind up somewhere in Africa. Like, what the hell?
Why am I related to everybody?
A malfunctioning one.
It's able to trace your ancestral tree by, like, several thousand years.
I can't seem to catch a break.
Here's really what I want to know. At what level is the branch far enough away that you're like, okay, let's go for it?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
Maybe, I don't know, how removed was Eleanor and FDR?
Mm. Were they third?
I mean, they were cousins.
Yeah.
And they were...
In fact, want to know something hilarious? What? Elvis did a movie called Kissing Cousins, and there's a song in it.
Did you just send it to me?
No, I just sent you my link. What were you saying, Dave?
There was an Elvis movie called Kissing Cousins, which I saw when I was younger.
Go on.
It's like Elvis in this hillbilly comedy, you know? Where he falls in love with a distant cousin.
Maybe worthy of
how many times removed is how diluted does the gene pool need to be for you not to
morally or to not have like a retard baby?
How far away would it have to be for you to feel comfortable?
Yeah, you asked you first.
I have no idea because I don't think I'd ever run into that situation.
No, it's not really a problem in this country unless you're seeking it out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I would say at least 4 or 5 generations for me. I mean, is that normal or?
5 families over? Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, if you had a limited selection, that would change your perspective, certainly.
Yeah, it would.
True.
Like, as far back as you could possibly get, if all there is people kind of related to you on this island.
On this island.
So they don't get a lot of immigrants there, I imagine?
No, not really.
Man, who moves to Iceland? Man? Yeah. This has been an interesting lineup.
The really important question, the last really important question you want to ask is, how well do Icelanders know how to play banjo?
Yeah, I'm so confused.
There's a, I remember they said this on NPR. They actually interviewed one of the people who did it because she became popular. But there was a guess that citizens, in order, like, it's kind of a weird thing, like the government of Iceland has like a Twitter account. But then they give like a random citizen control of it for like an X period of time. And they were interviewing a...
Wait a minute.
This female truck driver in Iceland, like her chronologies of and thoughts that she put out.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
So how do they select?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's just like
National Registry for the Twitter account.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Whatever. Letter we're in the Iceland. Mail.
You have been selected.
We're Iceland. You can rule the country for a day. Don't break nothing.
Next topic.
What was your other story you were teetering on?
Taco Joe.
What?
There he is.
What other story?
Well, what if you were told that something you had been taught was history, and you're taught this most of your life, you've thought something was true, and then you found out maybe it's not?
I would be interested.
I mean, crack does that to me all the time.
Right. But, I mean, not just like a random thing you were taught in history class, but, you know, something that's iconic in our culture.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Well, I got your article
up here.
I've heard
on several sites, and the one I'm picking is National Geographic, that the Wright brothers were not the first flight.
I've actually heard this before.
Didn't Cracked do this as well?
They might have.
I don't think I heard on Cracked, though.
Who is
it? Apparently, the information has been out there for a while, but people have essentially been ignoring it.
Gustav Whitehead.
Yes.
Huh? That doesn't sound like a real person.
Named after a pimple.
Well, he changed his name to Whitehead, too. That's the...
What was it before?
Was he American or was he from some other country?
He was German.
German. Did he do this in Germany or in the
U.S.?
No,
he was an immigrant to America.
Weisskopf.
So he became an American citizen.
Right. And that's why he changed his name
to
Whitehead.
Well, it's still an American invented airplane, then.
So how much did this predate the Wright brothers?
By, I believe, a full 2 years.
1903.
Oh, that's not too derailing. I would be more shaken if it was like 20 years before or something like that, when there wasn't a race for, you know, everybody was trying different shit.
Yeah, there was a crap ton of people trying to figure out flight at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
was this caught on video?
With various degrees of success. Well, it was 1901.
Video? Yeah, video was...
Yeah, I think what he's saying is like film.
Was right. It filmed?
It was photographed, but the photographs are blurry, and there's apparently a lot of people who believe that the guy never got off the ground. It was a hyped-up story, but...
Are there any photographs of it in the air?
No, I just see this one picture. Is that picture it, or is that just like a...
No, there are a bunch of... There were a bunch of pictures, actually, on Fox News of it.
Oh, all right. Fox News, that's kind of...
Well, they interviewed the guy.
Kind of surprising. I think Fox News interviewed the guy
who's
doing... interviewed Gustav Whitehead?
No, of course not. Oh. They interviewed the guy who's doing the research, and he's publishing a book about this now.
Oh, okay.
That makes more sense.
That's kind of...
No, Fox News is a time machine, and that's where they get most of their ideas, apparently.
Well, this guy work
part of it that was saying that it doesn't diminish how iconic the Wright brothers' flight was and the influence that the Wright brothers had.
Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This guy just apparently got off the ground like 2 years before them. In this thing that looks like a boat with bat wings.
Yeah, his plane doesn't look like it would take off at all, but okay.
Which is why some people doubt, because there's no good pictures of it in the air. But apparently people have built models of it that flew.
Yeah?
All right, I can believe that.
So apparently it was flyable.
So it's like it's got like butterfly wings and it's boat-shaped.
But the story, like...
A boat with butterfly
describes
wings?
It, you know, going... way up in the air, like over the town. And this guy flying it over the
much
town.
Much better than the Wright brothers, like...
Mm-hmm.
15 seconds.
15 second, like, 3 foot flight.
Right.
How long did it stay up there?
I don't know what this one. David?
Dirty mind. Let's see. It's a dirty place.
Sorry, this isn't the original article I read. I accidentally deleted that from my bookmarks. So I had to quickly look it up.
Oh, no.
And the other article was better organized. But apparently there's museums that have been talking about opening up an exhibit that honors this guy.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Well, at least, you know, give him a footnote there in history.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite the something there.
Well, Dave, thanks for that tidbit of history.
Sounds like they need to make a movie about it.
Yeah. I figure I had to do that because that's sort of my thing, the history stories.
Reaching back into the annals of history. So, well, I guess this brings us down to the end of the show here on Flapdoodle Forum. We've been your hosts, Lucas Wilson.
Matt Buckley.
And your guest hosts,
Ryan Traver.
And David Halstead.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, may I suggest you find more over at our website at cyclejellyfish.com. You can also subscribe to Flapdoodle Forum at iTunes. Please rate and review. It helps the show out very much. You can also listen to us on the podcast app Stitcher. If you're a fan of the show and you want to spread the madness, please give us a like on facebook.com/cyclejellyfish and follow us on Twitter at jellycast. And finally, any thoughts, words, comments, or questions, or perhaps a strange story that you found on the web, send it to us at email at cyclejellyfish.com. Been a fun one, folks.
Good night.
Good night, like John Sersel.
Psycho out.
Keep it psycho.
Oh,
our cast is probably.
Oh.